We extend a special welcome to all guests visiting us today as we celebrate the Sacrament of First Eucharist. We would like to remind you that there is no videotaping or photography of any kind during the Mass. There will be special opportunities for pictures with our pastor after Mass. The Men's Club are going to begin selling daily dollar raffle tickets next weekend for the month of June, so make sure you get them while you can. The new 2009 parish directories are here. You can pick one up in the narthex or the parish office. Mother's Day is in 2 weeks, which means that the Knights of Columbus will be hosting their annual Mother's Day breakfast Sunday, May 10th at 9 a.m. Come and treat Mom to a delicious meal on her special day. Tomorrow, April 27th, is the deadline for purchasing your Tiger tickets for the game on Friday, June 5th. If you are interested in going, please see page 7 of the bulletin for an order form and drop it off in the parish office or offertory baskets. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. At this time, we ask that you please silence all cell phones. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
What a great song to introduce this liturgy. How great is our God. Jesus is risen from the dead.
Indeed he is risen. Hallelujah.
We can do better than that. See, your line is on the wall over there. Is it big enough for you? We're still in the great celebration of Easter. We celebrate because Jesus is risen from the dead.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
That was a big improvement. One of the reasons that this is a great day and a special day is because it's a day that some of our younger brothers and sisters have been preparing for a long time. Right? And you've been looking forward to this day. This is the first communion for, I believe, 9 of our younger brothers and sisters. Can we welcome them and their family and their friends? Because the resurrection of Jesus is our greatest celebration, it is the time we traditionally take to celebrate that great presence of the risen Lord Jesus with us in His body and in His blood. We prepare now as we always do, by preparing our hearts. We know we are sinners and we come into God's holy presence. But we also know we can turn to Him and He will forgive us and purify us. So we ask God for the grace to see ourselves truly, to acknowledge our sins, so that we might approach the throne of grace and cry out for the mercy we need.
Lord Jesus, You raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, You forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, You feed us with Your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Father in heaven, author of all truth, a people once in darkness has listened to Your word and followed Your Son as He rose from the tomb. Hear the prayer of this newborn people and strengthen Your church to answer Your call. May we rise and come forth into the light of day to stand in Your presence until eternity dawns. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. That the way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to all of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are about to receive a great sacrament. Many of us for the 1,000th time, some of us for the first. A great sacrament which they've prepared hard for. Don't they look great? Are those special clothes comfortable? Don't you wish you could wear them all the time? No. But the point isn't to be comfortable. The point in so much of what we do is to let our outside express something of what is true on our inside. They can't see what's inside us, but we can use outward signs to show what it is we feel here in your special dress, your nice clothes, are a way of honoring Jesus and honoring this special time. Who here remembers their first communion? Is that a good memory? What do you think about? What do you remember about your first communion? Got some nice pictures? Do you look really, really sweet? Do you nostalgically remember perhaps some youthful innocence? There's been some hard knocks since, hasn't there? Do you remember a happy day? Do you remember simple faith? You remember that this was something you were really looking forward to, that you longed for. I know they have. I've been getting, after Mass for the last number of weeks, reports as to how many weeks are left. as they shook with excitement. This is something our younger brothers and sisters can teach us about this special sacrament. We're here to celebrate a great sacrament. What's a sacrament? Somebody came up to you on the street and said, "Hey, you're a Catholic," and you would say, "Amen, brother," right? Is that what you'd say? Yes. And they'd say, "Okay, what's a sacrament?" They say, "I don't have a clue." What would you say? "I don't have a clue either." What makes a sacrament a sacrament? It's not just stuff we do. Who remembers the Baltimore Catechism definition? You can repeat it along with me if you want. A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give... Okay, some of you remember. Now, I find that a little helpful. It isn't tremendously enlightening. But what it says is a part of the... What's part of all sacraments is that there's an outward sign showing something else, just like their formal dress says something about their inner attitude, or is meant to. The bread and the wine are more than what's there. It's an outward sign of something much greater. My favorite definition of a sacrament is really simple. It's an action of Jesus. That's what a sacrament is. First and primarily, it's the fundamental way in which Jesus acts among us in this day and age. A sacrament is an action of Jesus. An action of Jesus like the one encountered in the gospel today. It's said in the story of Jesus being with the disciples, going to Emmaus, that Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. A foretaste, a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. It says in that encounter that Jesus explained everything that the Scriptures had foretold about Him. Boy, I'm looking forward to seeing the tape of that. We have some clues. All that the Scriptures, for hundreds of years, all that the prophets had said, all that Moses had foretold, all that the Psalms prophesied about, He told them. And it said as He was doing this, their hearts burned. Their hearts were burning as Jesus revealed these things to them. That's what sacraments do. I think we've lost, over the last number of decades, some of the sacredness of this sacrament. It's one of the reasons why we brought the tabernacle when we redid things here back into the sanctuary. Not because, according to the teachings of the church, the chapel is not a perfectly appropriate place. I understand that. But I think in these days we need all the visual help we can get. We need to be reminded in every way that we can about the tremendous gift that we have been given in the Most Holy Eucharist. I think at times we've become so concerned about offending anybody or about not being maximally inclusive that we've compromised the truth about what we believe this Eucharist to be. We've always taught for hundreds of years that everyone is welcome in church. Welcome in church is Jesus Himself welcomed all. But the invitation to communion is a privilege to those who have made the appropriate preparation. One must be a baptized Catholic, because receiving communion is a public acknowledgement of belief in all that the Catholic Church teaches as the essentials of the faith. The Church teaches that one must be in a state of grace. That means one must not have any unconfessed mortal sins, including missing Mass through one's own fault without going to confession. It means that if one is married, then it must be a sacramental marriage. The sacrament is a public witness that you believe that you are receiving, under the appearance of bread and wine, the body and the blood, the soul and the divinity of Jesus Christ, true God, true man, your Savior, and the Savior of the whole world. You're giving public testimony. That's what it means, that you're a disciple of Jesus, and that there is nothing more important in your life than God. These are holy things. They demand a holy response. We're all sinners. We have that in common. So the only holiness for us comes through faith and repentance. But there is holiness for us through faith and repentance. If there is little cost to receive this precious food, if it's nothing special, if everybody can do it, then there will indeed be little gain. And little gain would be tragic loss. It's nice to remember your first communion. What have you learned since? How many times since your first communion have you gone to communion? Hopefully you have a better, a deeper, a more profound understanding of it now. To our first communicants, have your parents asked you questions for your preparation? Have your teachers asked you questions? Have you been interviewed about what you know, about what you're doing? You've had some homework to do. You've had some things to learn. So I think it's time for you to be able to ask some questions. Okay, so I'm going to recommend that those of you who are receiving First Communion talk to your parents and say, Mom, Dad, what have you learned about communion? Not from a book, but from Jesus. How have you grown in your appreciation since your First Communion of this Holy Sacrament? Here are some of the things that I've learned. I've learned that faith sees things that our eyes cannot. It is false to assert that only what we see is real. Faith reveals there's infinitely more. Jesus is truly present in these mysteries, although it is not our eyes that reveal it. The disciples struggled to understand the things that Jesus told them. I will give you the sign of Jonah. In 3 days I will rise from the dead. The Son of Man has to suffer. Eat my body? They struggled. But the more they trusted, the more they trusted Jesus, the better they understood. And so it is with us. I've learned that the extraordinary is often hidden in the ordinary. Who would have thought that the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, would be born in a stable? With no human fanfare, such that heavenly choirs announced it. Who would believe that something as precious as the living Word of God could be written on common paper? Or that heroic virtue, insight into God's nature, can be revealed in splendor among the weak and the poor? Extraordinary, hidden in the ordinary, here we bow down, we worship. One of the most profound acts a human being is capable of, we worship. The appearance of bread and wine, but in substance, the body and the blood of Jesus. I've learned one must empty oneself to be filled. You need to be hungry in order to be satisfied. We need to desire God above other things. I've learned that this is bread that changes us. Everything else you eat, you change into more of you. But we believe this is different bread. It's not magic. It's not automatic. But when we do this in faith, the divinity of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, takes us more and more. I've learned that it's not how we feel that's most important, but what we know to be true. The reality of these things are not determined by our experience, by the truth that they are. I've learned that what I ate yesterday does not feed me today. Kids, how would you feel if you said to your mom and dad, "I haven't eaten all day, I'm really hungry." And they said, "Come on, you ate 2 hamburgers yesterday." Would that work? Hamburgers to yesterday don't help you today. And so it is with our spiritual food. It's a constant need. We live off the substance, not the memories. And I've learned that there's always, always more. We've just begun to understand the depths of the love of God and His gift to us. Have you grown in knowing Jesus through all these communions? Be sure of this. This is not a mechanical transaction. It's not like a bank, ATM. Here's my prayers. Here's my envelope. Now don't send me to hell. I'd like some good health and a few other things if it's not too much trouble. This is infinitely more than a personal appointment with the president and owner of all the banks in the world. Guess what? God is more concerned about you than all those transactions. Does He have your full attention? Do we know the honor of His presence? As it was for His disciples. Is Jesus made known to you in this breaking of the bread?